again to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 33, but sounds like a lot, but it'll be a rapid exposition of each verse. What is your best thing? What is your best thing? That's the title of this message. What is your best thing? In these verses, the Lord appears to be addressing two things that most folks, I would say most folks, to different degrees, probably, but that most folks naturally desire. Number one is the favor of those around them, around us. And I could say, I agree, I do. I would rather be liked than disliked. And then the goods of the world, to different degrees, everybody, the goods of the world. Matthew Henry says, material, temporal, or worldly, he sums it up with the word worldly, mindedness, is a sure sign of an insincere, false profession as any other sign. He says it may be the surest sign. He says because no other area can Satan have such a sure and firm hold. Verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Lay not up. Keep in mind now that this is an extended context of that prayer. This all one from the Beatitudes to the prayer to all, these three chapters, just one continuous lesson. I don't know how long that teaching went on that day, but this is one continuous teaching here. So keep that in mind. The heathen and the hypocrite, they go for it. They go for it. These earthly materials I'm talking about. John Gill says the Pharisees were wont for two things, riches and religion. And they have their reward in their material. They have their reward here on earth, much like they with material things, much like they did with their prayers. They have it here. They go for it and they get it here. But he tells his disciples, he said, you my disciples. And these lessons are to believers. And whether it was the 12, I think it was the 12 along with a host of believing people, a host of disciples. But he tells them, he said, now you my disciples, you my beloved ones, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't do like the hypocrites do. Don't lay that stuff up. They have their reward. You don't do it. Don't lay up. Don't store away. Don't make it your inordinate desire and ambition. Now, there's got to be balance. He's not talking about no work or no future savings, no future safety. Now, that's not what he's talking about. Proverbs 6, look over there. You've got to always compare Scripture to Scripture or you're going to mess up. I mess up enough comparing Scripture to Scripture. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant. He said, go watch that ant. You lazy person. You sorry devil. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, no overseer, no boss, no ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and here's the savings account, and gathers her food in the harvest. That's the savings. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When you arise out of the sleep, this is the way Dad used to wake Sam and I up. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I'd get up quicker than Sam would. But Sam's a good worker now. He's a hard working fella. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thou won't as an armed man. So he's not saying don't work. Don't save. It's balance. Balance. Believers need to strive for balance. Talk about an inordinate, unbalanced seeking of treasure. What is treasure? What's treasure? Is it just money? What is treasure? It's whatever you set your affections on. That's your treasure. There's a study that you can mark it. Ecclesiastes 2:3. Solomon makes a strange statement. He says, I gave my heart to wine and folly, to wine and pleasure. And he said, I still wanted to maintain wisdom, just to see if I could. I just gave myself over, is what he's saying, to folly. But I was going to try to hang on to some wisdom. He said, it couldn't be done. Couldn't be done. Couldn't go extreme. Couldn't be done. So a treasure is something someone thinks is the very best thing. And believers, all of us, including me, always need to check, ask the question every day, what is my best thing? And I said it can be, but it's not limited to material things. It can be lust. It can be lust. Talk about sexual lust. I know men and women like that. That's their best thing. Can be vainness. I know men and women that way. They don't think they're ever going to get old. They just so adore themselves. Could be vainness. Could be family. Family could be your best thing. Go on and on. You got to be honest with yourself. I just don't be honest with me. But what's your best thing? What is your best thing? And then he gives three reasons in this verse for not going there. The number one thing is they're of the earth. That's what he says. They're of the earth. What's that mean? Everything, including us, is of the earth. You go dig up a casket that's been there 50 years, see what you find. Dust, won't you? It's of the earth. It's passing away. Everything is. This world, the circumstances of the world change every day. Every day. Look at the news. Don't not watch the news. Get your head out of the sand. Watch the news. Don't worry about the news, but watch the news. It's changing. And the Lord's doing something. I enjoy watching it. See what the Lord, because I don't worry. The Lord's going to handle it. But it's changing. The world changes. Circumstances change. It's a universal change. It's like one president said, we no longer have just the United States. Everything we do affects the rest of the world. I can't remember which late one said that. And that's the truth. It's whatever ripples here, it seems to affect the whole world, don't it? It's universal. So if it's lust, this in love with passions. What happens there? You get old, don't you? Ralph Barner told a story. I can't remember which message it was. He told so many, and it got your attention, didn't it? He told a story of a lady named Dixie out in Texas. Y'all may have heard it. I don't remember what town it was, but it's back in the 30s, 40s. Rough town back in those days. Rough towns everywhere, but especially Texas. But there was a lady named Dixie. And she remembered the name because that's a part of the country I love. Dixie. Lady named Dixie. But she was one of these. And she hung out in this old saloons. And everybody loved Dixie. All the men loved Dixie. And you can imagine why. But she was caught in the middle of a shooting one night. And she was sort of in the crossfire. And the doctor was called. And Ralph Barnard was there. And he was called. And the doctor told Mr. Barnard, he said, I've done all I can for her. I don't know if she'll make it or not. Kill the others. So he talked to her. He said, Dixie, do you want to seek mercy from God? And she said, no. No, preacher, I don't. She said, because if I recover from this, I'll go right back to where I was before. She said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be the hypocrite. But that was a good thing. But Dixie, you know, we've all known Dixie. I've known Dixies. You've known Dixies. We've all known Dixies, haven't we? What happened to those Dixies? I'm 60 years old now. The Dixies I knew are just as old as I am. They get old. They get old. They decay. Passes away, don't it? Lay up money. You lay up cash. What's going to happen, Steve? I'm going to go to that doggone Bitcoin for it's over with. And whatever cash you got stored away, going to go to cryptocurrency. I don't even know how to spell it. That's what we're going to go to for it's over with. So what's good storing cash away? Be like that old Confederate money. Just hang it on your wall. You can store food away. What happens to beans? They get hard. I never thought dried beans would get hard when you cook them, but they do, don't they? They say Twinkies, I guess, is the only thing that'll last forever. I've never liked Twinkies. Beans will harden, or you store meat in your freezer, what happens? You lose your power. So what do you got to trust? You got to trust the Lord, don't you? Huh? You do wise things and trust the Lord after that. That's the second thing he's talking about, moth and rust. And that moth and rust is bugs. He's talking about bugs that come in. You can take bugs breed in themselves, breed in the material. You can take a bag of flour, can't you? Never opened it up. Where'd the bug come from? They bred within what was already decaying. And then the third thing he gives, he said, thieves will break in. And they will. They will. They find out. They find out. Sometimes these cable guys come to my house and I'm thinking, ooh, hope he don't tell a buddy what he saw here. Thieves will break in. Hold a gun to your wife until you empty that safe. But I tell you, a bigger thief, what's a bigger thief than a thief? Time. Time. That's the bigger thief. Time breaks down, don't it? Time will break down your health, won't it? You lay back, say, I'm going to take it easy, time breaks in. It's a thief. It steals your health. It steals your kids. Your kids grow up. Thief got them. Gets your grandkids will outgrow you. Thief got them. Don't put your pleasure in all that stuff. The thief's coming. Time's coming. It's going to get them. That's a race you're not going to win this time. Going to beat you every time. You know, there are two words that describe our life and everything around it. Change and decay. That's what that songwriter wrote, isn't it? Change and decay in everything I see. O thou that changes not, abide, abide, abide with me. So we need balance, don't we? Believers need to be balanced. That's who, like I said again, he's talking to believers here. And they need to be balanced. Use things, but don't abuse them. Don't put your life's trust in them. Be careful. Be careful. Then verse 20. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. What are those treasures? They're spiritual. They got to be. They're in Christ. Scripture says, but of Him are you in Christ. Make sure you're in Christ. Make sure He's the treasure. But of Him are you in Christ. Look over. Hold your finger on your text there. Look over at Isaiah chapter 55. You're familiar with this. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Isaiah writes, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? All your time, all your affections. Why do you spend money, your time and your affections, for that which is not bread? That can't satisfy you. That can't be the best thing, is what he's saying. Isaiah says, why do you spend money on things that cannot be the best thing? and your labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken to me. Listen to me. Hearken. That's what we say that all the time to our kids. Why do we say that? Because we know what we're talking about, right? Right, Glenn? When you say, listen to me, as a parent, you know, because you've been there, hadn't you? You know what you're talking about. That's what Isaiah says. Listen to me. That's what our Lord says. Listen to me. Hearken to me. Listen to my message. Listen to these messages that we bring every week. It's the same message over and over and over. We got four men here who bring lessons and messages, and it's the same message over and over. Listen to the message. Listen to it. Listen to my doctrine. Listen to my counsel. And then he says, if you do that, eat ye that which is good. Good, but why is it good? Why is what we say good? Because it's Christ. We teach you about Christ. We teach you all the things that surround Christ. Eat of Christ. It's good because Christ declared it good. He said, I am the bread of life. Come to me and you won't hunger anymore. He told that lady at the well, he said, drink of me and I'll give you water that you'll never be thirsty again. So we know he's good because he told us he's good, right? And let your soul delight in its fatness. Me and Paul were talking about that's our favorite part of the steak almost is the fat part. Isn't that good? Not good for you, but Christ, that fat's good for you now. He's good for you. Delight in it. Just that's the juiciest part. Just delight in him. Delight in me. Delight in my gospel. Delight in me. Incline your ear. Listen again. Incline your ear. Come unto me and hear. If you'll listen to what I'm telling you, your soul's going to live. Told our kids, if you'll listen to what we tell you, you'll stay out of trouble. Our Lord saying, if you listen, your soul will live. If you'll listen to my doctrine, if you'll listen to my gospel, if you'll learn of me, your soul's going to live. And I will make an everlasting... He says, I'll give you the same covenant I made with David. Ain't but one covenant. That's an everlasting covenant. He made it with his son, the greater David. He said, That's what I'll give you. Everything in that covenant is yours. Just listen to what I have to say. Do what I say. David wrote in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. In his righteousness, in his sanctification, his redemption. All right, let's look back at the text. And we know it's eternal. How do we know that these treasures are eternal? Well, it says to lay them up in heaven. You can't get much more secure than in eternal than in heaven, can you? They're in Christ. That's enough. Paul writes, blessed. He says, in Christ, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heaven. In heaven. Then the text says, we're moth in heaven, and if they're secure, moth, rust, they can't corrupt. Thieves can't break into heaven. It's eternal. They can't come in there and steal. That's what Peter writes over in 1 Peter. See if I can find it real quick for you. 1 Peter 1:4. He says, in Christ again, in Christ, we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and is saved, is reserved in heaven for you. Christ is the provider, the accomplisher, the laborer, and he's just waiting on us to come. Set your affections on him. Set your goals on him and up there, not here. And he sums it up here. What's he saying here in verse 20? He goes back to this. A warning here in verse 21. It's a very simple, plain, you can't get any plainer than what I'm picturing. Just a plain statement of fact. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where's your hope? Where's your hope for old age? Where's your hope for troubles? Where's your hope in good times and in bad times? What occupies your thoughts? What's your desires? What do you think about more than anything? What do you want more than anything? What do you dread losing more than anything? What do you desire? Well, where it says is where your treasure is, where your best thing is, where that best thing is, there's where your heart will be. There's where you'll find your heart. And we can be honest with yourself, can't you? You can ask yourself that right now. Where's my best thing? Britt, where's my best thing? There's my heart. What's the thing I fear most losing? That's my best thing. There's my heart. I love all these family. I love all my friends. I know some of these folks all my life. I'd rather lose you than Christ, right? He's my best thing. I've known and know now religious folks, you know, by degree. We were talking about that recent day or so ago. Folks religious by degree. All men are religious by nature. Right. Every one of them. Even if they don't know they're religious by nature, they are. You just watch them as they get older. They'll try to start doing something that's going to qualify them to meet God. Every one of them. Just watch and see. So all men are religious by nature, by degree. But you go visit some of them sometimes. Sit down in their office and I saw a Bible on one's desk. It was under some documents and blueprints and bigger treasures. There was a Bible there, but it was under some bigger treasures. His trades, the money he had made, his books. There. But it's under all those treasures, other things. What is best thing? I had a good friend that told me, he said, I'm going to retire at 49. And he probably would have. But the problem is he died at 45. I know a lot of folks like that. Gone. Within a year or two of retirement, I had an uncle like that. Your brother. Gone. A year or so before or after, I can't remember. He retired. Three folks at the fire department, year or two, all three of them died with lung cancer. Year or two before they retired. All three of them. Can't depend on that, can you? What's your best thing? These things are going away. What's your best thing? And this thing about your best thing and your affections, that's why Matthew Henry said it's so dangerous, because Satan can wrap your mind around it very deceitfully. Because one thing is a creeping thing. It just don't come all of a sudden. We've seen that. We've seen it here. These desires, they creep up on you. All of us. You gotta be aware. You gotta pray daily. Things will creep up. And I'm talking to young folks. I've seen folks, okay, we've seen them all our lives. They seem to love the gospel. Until some boy or girl comes along and takes them away. See what I'm saying? I've seen prosperity come. Take them away. I was reading about it. Used to be a young fellow. He's an older fellow now. Used to sit here. Wanted to be a preacher at one time. Prosperity got the boy. It got him. I've seen folks go off to college and they come back different, don't they? Just come back different. Peer pressure got them. This wasn't their best thing. They thought it was their best thing, just wasn't their best thing. I hope it's my best thing. I do. I hope it's my best thing. I'm not cocky with it. I get in trouble this afternoon as soon as I leave here. What's your best thing? Gotta add what I say a while ago. Ask yourself every day, what's your best thing? What's your best thing? My son, give me your heart. Young folks, read that verse and learn what. My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Don't let the thief take you from Christ. Don't let him do it. Just don't let him do it. Don't sell your first love for 30 pieces of silver. Or even worse, don't sell him for a pot of soup. Don't take much to sell Christ sometimes, does it? Don't do it. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Shakespeare said that the eye of the window, or the eye is the window of the soul. You know, and I believe that. You know, you could. We've all seen that picture of old Charles Manson. Who isn't that a scary fella? Those eyes, that's the scariest set of eyes I've ever seen. They had a picture of him against something. I don't know if he's up for, I don't know. But anyway, saw it again the other day. Scary. They say you can read eyes. Read eyes. I think you can. You know, we're wearing all these masks now, so all you can see is eyes. And boy, you pay attention to those eyes now, don't you? And you can't watch them. You know, something going on there. You can tell when they're angry, when they're happy, when you can tell when they're bothered. You can read their eyes. We're used to reading everything. They can hide behind a smile, but you cover that smile up, and all you got to read is eyes. And you can read them. You can't. People can smile. They can smile, and it deflects from those eyes. But if you just look at those eyes, you read those eyes. That's what he's talking about here. The eye. He says, is the eye healthy? That's what he's saying. Is it single? Is it healthy? Is it clear? Is it undivided? Is it focused? All of those things describe this single eye. If your eye is all of those things, you can walk straight toward a fixed point, can't you? That's how you just walk toward that point. Anybody knows, if you're on a tractor or plowing or whatever you do, you look out there. You don't look here. You look out there, and you'll run a pretty straight line doing that. Look ahead to a fixed point. But your eye got to stay on that, don't it? It's got to stay focused. It can't be divided. So the opposite of that evil eye talks about, the opposite of that is all just what I said. You're going to be not healthy. It's not going to be clear. It's not going to be focused. It's going to be divided. Like a drunk man. When a man gets drunk, a cop, you can look in his eyes and his eyes change, don't they? And they say, you've been drinking? The eyes change. You've been drinking? But then he staggers everywhere, don't he? Staggers all over the place. Can't stay focused. Tries. Can't stay focused. Kids play that. Those two, Jackson and Emma, they're out here playing that. We've all played it. We all paid for it growing up. We all played that circle. You know, run around in a circle. Run around like this. Don't make sense when you get old. If you're still out there 50 years old doing it, you got problems. But you do it, don't you? Kids do it. And what happens? I've seen them do it. They run into one another. They think it's fun. But that's what happens. Dizzy, unfocused, can't stay focused. Bummy, you're headed for trouble, aren't you? They start crying. You think, told them. They'll do it again the next day. That's how men are outside of Christ. They do the same thing over. You tell them, they do it again. There they go. And then that's verse 23. But if an eye eye be evil. That's what we're just talking about. That whole body shall be full of darkness. But there's something deeper than this here. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I think that's religious darkness. I do. I think that's religious darkness. You know, there's some element of truth in most all religions, or there wouldn't be a religion. And you can run I do it every time I get a message. You run an internet search on these verses. We all do it. And man, there's some good things by a lot. These chapters 5, 6, and 7, you know who comments more as much as anybody else? The Seventh-day Adventists and the Mormons. Why? Because they make this all about works. These two or three chapters make it all about works. So there's some degree of truth in all religions. There's some degree of light. There's some degree of light. What I'm saying is there's scripture base in most all religions. Go back to Shakespeare, talking about the window, the eyes, the window of the sun. Shakespeare wasn't a believer. He was rotten. Read about it, he was rotten. But he used little Bible verses constantly in his plays. And most conservative religion then would get in the ballpark on this. We would agree with some of the things they would say about these three chapters. But is that religion? Is it focused on one thing? That's where it is. It's, go to that rat poison. There's just a little bit of poison in it. Is your religion focused on one thing? What's that one thing? Christ. Christ. Is it words, or do we make it Christ? I went to the eye doctor the other day, and y'all have all been there. He'll say, you'll sit there and you'll look in, and he'll say, tell me which is clearer, one or two? Two or three? And you'll figure that out. And you'll say, two. And he'll get that thing, and it'll get blurry. He said, now tell me when it's best. And he'll get this good eye doctor. He'll get that thing down till it's just exactly the best it can be. Well, that's what we want. And the very best we can be is to bring you Christ every time we stand up here. He's the absolute best, isn't he? He's the best. And we want our focus on Christ. Nothing we do. I like that baseball game, that baseball movie with Kevin Costner, Love of the Game. And in that game, you know, he's pitching that no-hitter, and he starts listening to the crowd and listening to the ball players. And all of a sudden, you see that movie, that bring it in. He gets his focus back on that catcher. And he tells himself, focus, stupid. Focus. That's what we need. That's what we need to, as believers, are we focused? If we'll focus on Christ, all of these things in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 will line up. Focus on Him. I have faith on Him alone for all these things. So the greater the light, the straighter the walk. The more you know about Christ, the straighter your walk's going to be. Verse 24. We're still on this thought of singleness of heart. You got to be, you know, error. Error is, what is error? It's opposite of truth, and truth is just truth. So error is anything void of truth. And when you do it, the dark just gets darker, it gets darker, and it gets darker. That's what Paul was trying to warn those folks over in Thessalonians. He said, all of those that are swayed and deceived, they're going to perish. They're going to perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, the love of light. They didn't stay focused. They let their focus get somewhere else. And they're gone. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't do it. What's mammon? It's the same thing a treasure is. It's possesses, anything a man possesses that puts God second. That's what it is. And God, what does God say? My name is the Lord. I will not share my glory with another. So mammon is anything that puts him in second place. You know, we claim to love Christ. We claim to love the truth and the gospel. We didn't think about this. This life is so very fleeting. So very fleeting. I listened to that ball game yesterday, George game, and another group of seniors is graduating. I don't know how many years I've listened to Georgia football game and another senior day. And it goes on, and life got away, just like my life has gotten away, and your life's gotten away. There's another group of seniors now gone from that college. It's quick, isn't it? It's quick. Life is fleeting. Oh, it's so fleeting. And if you're a believer, and you walk away from light, you walk away from this gospel, you walk away from it, you walk away from truth, he's telling you you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose your life. Period. You may not die, but you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose your spiritual eye. You walk away from truth, you're going to lose that spiritual eye. Mark 8:34, look at it. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever, what I just say, you're going to, I didn't say that you walk away from truth, you're going to lose your life. He said it. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know the word save your life. You grab hold of that gospel. But whosoever shall lose his life, here it is, you got hold of that gospel. You lose everything else for the gospel's sake, for Christ's sake. Whoever does that for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save. That's the only way you're going to save your life. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man gain? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That friend of mine I was talking about a while ago, he told me, he said, I'd give everything for my life. Everything. Let me read you something. We always talk about that man in an iron cage. Some of you don't know what we're talking about sometimes. Let me read you this. So the interpreter took Christian into a dark room where there sat a man in an iron cage. Now the man to look on seemed very sad. He sat with his eyes looking down to the ground. His hands were folded together, and he sighed as he would break his heart. Then said Christian, what means this? And the interpreter said, ask him. So Christian asked the man, what art thou? What are you? And the man answered, he said, I am what I once was not. I am what I once was not. And Christian said, well, what were you once? The man said, I was once a fair and flourishing professor, both in mine eyes and all the eyes of others. I once was, as I thought, fair for the celestial city, headed for heaven. And had even then the joy at the thoughts that I should go thither. You rejoiced in it, is what he's saying. I was sure I was going to heaven. Christian said, well, what are you now? He said, now I'm a man of despair. I'm a man of despair. And I'm shut up as in this iron cage. I can't get out. Shut up in despair. I can't get out. I cannot. Oh, I cannot get out. He said, how'd you come into this condition? He said, I left off to watch and to be sober. I laid the reins upon the neck of my lust. I sinned against the light of the Word and the goodness of God. I have grieved the Spirit, and He's gone. I tempted the devil, and he's come to me. I have provoked God to anger, and He left me. I have so hardened my heart that I cannot repent. Then said Christian to the interpreter, But is there no hope? No hope for such a man as this? And again the interpreter said, Ask him. Then said Christian, Is there no hope for you? You must be kept in this iron cage of despair. The man said, No, no hope at all. Christian said, Why? The Son of the Blessed is very pitiful. The man said, I have crucified him to myself afresh. I have despised his person. I have despised his righteousness. I have counted his blood as an unholy thing. I have done despite to the Spirit of grace. Therefore, I have shut myself out of all of the promises. And there remains for me nothing but threatenings, dreadful, awful threatenings of certain judgment. For what did you bring yourself into this condition? The man said, For the lust, pleasures, and profits of this world, in the enjoyment of which I did then promise myself much delight. But now every one of those things, what I say, all those Dixies are gone. All those Dixies are gone. All of those things are gone. Oh, eternity, eternity. How shall I grapple with the misery that must meet me in eternity? Then said the interpreter to Christian, Let this man's misery be remembered by you, and be an everlasting caution to you. And Christian, as all believers should reply, This is fearful. God help me to watch, be sober, and pray to shun the cause of this man's misery. Verse 33 says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all in His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Seek God first. Before all things, he says. Seek His glory and honor. Seek it first. Seek it as a young man. Seek it as a young from a woman. Seek it first. Be a Daniel, a David, a Joseph, a Timothy. Seek it first. Seek it as quick as you can. Seek it first. Seek it first is important. He said, what did he say? Well, what will it profit a man if he loses, gains the whole world and loses his soul? Seek it first in importance. Seek it first in affection. Seek it as your first love. Seek it the first day of the week. Seek it, seek it, seek it, seek it. Whatever you put it first to, do that with God. Seek it, seek Him, seek Him. Seek His righteousness. What's His righteousness? His righteousness is His Son. Seek Christ. Learn all you can of Christ. Everything from cover to cover. From cover to cover, this book's about Christ. Find Christ. Seek Him. Every day, seek Him in this book. Learn all you can about Him. And then all of these things, he talks about your food, your raiment, and your savings. All of these things, what does he say there? Will be added. What does added mean? If you got the best thing, if you got an added thing, it's like if you get your check at the end of the week and they added $100, I gave you a bonus, didn't they? But add $100 to it. You already had your check. They just added some money to it. If you got Christ, you got all, don't you? Hadn't you? You got the best thing. He'll take care of these other things. Don't let Christ go. Seek Him. He's the best.
Steve?